Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gilcast. Rather, listening to this on the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast feed or the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Football feed. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling. We're here. It's Monday morning. We are licking our wounds. Or I guess, Sammy, you're probably not licking your wounds. You scored 8 more points than me, and you passed a huge train, which was my lineup, which was a massive train. And I'm assuming that you got there in cash.
I did get there. And, you know, this week you guys taste my ass. So here we go.
Here we go. Yeah, so the three-man whirling dervish scored 138.86. I scored 130.88. And Nate fished it up and didn't play Justin Jackson and scored 127.76.
This is what the people want. You know, there's just like the most obvious play in the history of DFS, and Nate Noling just...
Nate, he was only 90% owned.
Yeah. So, sometimes you just got to play David Montgomery, man. You know, I mean, he did good, but...
Didn't the Bears even won that game too.
I mean, Montgomery had the highest expected workload of any player in the week. He had like 21 rushing attempts, 9 targets. He had like 5 rushing attempts within the 5. Feels bad, man. I don't know what else to say. Christmas hangover, not great. Bunch of eggnog trying to get up to the gym this morning, wipe it off. It's,
oh my God, dude. Not been a good day. I went to the gym this morning and just drug ass like I was Eeyore. I mean, it was unbelievable. I just ate nothing but Oreo balls and then bread for like 3. I mean, just I'm sick of myself and my
basically how I feel about my DFS lineups as well. I mean, it is not a good Sunday.
I'm just wiping crust out of my eyes. You guys have already been to the gym, like Jesus.
Well, you know how that goes. Some of us are grown-ups, Sammy. Some of us
have discipline when it's
Monday. Yeah, I don't actually know how it goes.
Get up and do my sprints.
Don't know how it goes. My it was my 2-year-old's birthday yesterday. Very selfish of her.
At least you didn't have to watch. Yeah, you didn't have to watch any of these disgusting games. All right.
Okay, so actually there was legit some decent football yesterday. I actually thought from a real life NFL standpoint, yesterday was the best football we've gotten in like a long time. I mean, Josh Allen's stuff was
set low, bro. The bar is set
low. Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott. There was some good football yesterday. Yeah.
There was, you know, to be fair, there was. So whirling dervish, 138.86. Jalen Hurts, we all played Alexander Mattison. Sammy and I played Justin Jackson. We all played the same 3 wide receivers, Cooper Kupp, Antonio Brown, Josh Palmer. Sammy and I played Rob Gronkowski. We all played James Robinson, and Sammy played the Seahawks defense. And I played Matthew Stafford, Alexander Mattison, James Robinson, Cooper Kupp, Antonio Brown, Josh Palmer, Rob Gronkowski, Justin Jackson, and the Bengals defense. Nate played Jalen Hurts, Alexander Mattison, James Robinson, Cooper Kupp, Antonio Brown, Josh Palmer, Dallas Goedert, David Montgomery, and the Bengals defense. So I guess your 2v2 was Gronk and Justin Jackson. You turned into Dallas Goedert and David Montgomery. You should have gotten punished on both sides of that. You should have gotten punished by Gronk, and you should have got, and I mean, you did get punished by Justin
I did get
Jackson.
Punished by the Justin Jackson thing. Okay, let's get into it. I thought Dallas Goedert to Rob Gronkowski was not worth an $1,100 difference. Dallas Goedert's whopper, Dallas Goedert's target share. I mean, he just... he is Rob Gronkowski to me. And I get that, like with Evans and with Godwin out, that you maybe could put more of a share towards Rob Gronkowski. But at the end of the day, it's not like Rob Gronkowski is going to start being targeted like a wide receiver.
He got targeted 11 times in the game that Godwin and Evans got hurt.
I didn't think Rob Gronkowski at 6.2 was $1,100 better than Dallas Goedert in this spot. Already having Jalen Hurts.
The people have to know, how did their whopper compare before this week?
Well, Gronk's was like probably bad because he was playing with Evans and Godwin for a full season.
And Goddard's is off the damn charts because he gets this massive share of 21 pass attempts per game.
Correct.
I mean, Goddard's massive. Yeah, Goddard is just, the target share that Goddard gets week in and week out at $1,100 cheaper, I just didn't think was... Yeah. And add to that, that I thought Montgomery in this spot was one of the top, like, I thought Montgomery's workload was very clearly unassailable the way that you hoped that Justin Jackson's could have been if Roundtree and Kelly weren't in the mix. Nate, and so it was one of those things where in cash, I just, yeah.
Nate, how much did your model account for the snow game? Was this a snow game kind of deal where you saw the snow falling and you had visions of Shady McCoy and when Sammy busted you on that a couple of years ago and you're like, I got to play the snow game, bro.
It did help. It did make me feel better. But
I had
David Montgomery had 21 freaking rushing attempts and 9 targets in this game. Like, why would he not? I mean, I don't know. There was obviously great running. I'm not taking anything away from Justin Jackson. Justin Jackson was clearly like, there was 4 running backs that I thought were smash plays in James Robinson, Jackson, Montgomery, and Madison. I think Ronald Jones was the weakest of the group. I don't think Ronald Jones was the play that everybody thought he was. Yep. Tampa Bay has made it very clear how little they like him. And I think people who thought Ronald Jones was in the same tier as those other guys, I think was mistaken. And I thought, yeah, just with the roster construction, yeah, I felt better about the Goddard Montgomery thing and I was wrong and I got smashed.
You did. I mean, not playing, I get not playing Justin Jackson in tournaments because he was going to be absurdly owned and, you know, they were going to play a little bit of Josh Kelly. They were going to play a little bit of Larry Roundtree, but I mean, just playing Eckler snaps, like, I don't know. It just feels
Austin Eckler for 4,200. No, thanks, you guys. I mean, Nate, and we talked about this in the group chat. I mean, Montgomery was a very good play. Like, neither of us were debating this.
Yeah.
It's just that you can't not play Justin Jackson. Like, you had to play him over somebody else. And both Madison and Robinson were extremely good plays as well. But 4,200 for the Eckler role. I mean, come on.
The one that I didn't want to play James Robinson because I just hate him. I just am so biased against him. No. I wanted to play
James Robinson was the best play of all.
I wanted to play.
He was the first guy.
I wanted
James Robinson was the best play of all of them. I had David Montgomery for a higher target share projection than Justin Jackson. I had David Montgomery for like nearly a 20% higher rushing attempt share than Justin Jackson. And Justin Jackson just had the lowest projected volume of those guys. And I get that per dollar, he might have been a better play. But at the end of the day, the per dollar got me Gronk over Goddard, which just didn't. That was the upgrade that I was like, this doesn't make sense. I'm taking less volume.
I get where you're going with it, Nate. I really do. I mean, honestly, but like at some point you need to like zoom out. Like, honestly, I think the guy you could have considered him over, and I don't want to be hindsight about it, is Madison, only because, and you guys are going to roast me for this boomer take, but Madison wasn't so cheap. You know what I mean? Like, he was definitely less than Dalvin Cook.
He was a tier more expensive, but he's also a better player in a better role than any of these other guys.
I'm not sold that he's a better player. So I've seen a bunch of like the metrics of like, you know, broken tackles over expectation, rush yards over expectation, this and that. And Dalvin Cook is like way on the top end and Madison is below average. And
yeah, but you got to watch the games, bro. If you watch the games, Madison just jumps just off the page. If you just watch the games, you'd understand.
You guys have trumped my boomer take with another boomer take. So
no, Sammy, I'm with you. I think Madison was the weakest of that group. Like, if I disagree.
I literally have maybe never disagreed with the take on this show more than I'm disagreeing with this right now.
Well, from what I was seeing, he was like the second highest overall projected running back. So it's hard to get that out of your lineup. But I don't know.
He was our highest projected running back, I think.
Was he?
What did you have David Montgomery's target share and rushing attempt share at?
I to be clear, Montgomery was actually getting in some of our optimals. Yeah. I can pull up. I'm not, Nate, roasting you for playing David Montgomery. I'm roasting you for looking a fucking gift horse in the mouth and just punching it with Justin Jackson.
I know, obviously, there are so many. You can only play 3 running backs, though. Like, you have to prioritize and make decisions on your overall construction. And yes, at a per dollar standpoint, I understand.
I had David Montgomery for 70% of the rushes and 14% of the targets.
And what was Justin Jackson?
Justin,
I would guess like less than 50% of the rushing attempts, 40, and maybe
40. I had 47 and 12. Yeah.
Okay, so like in that you,
but
you
he plays for the Chargers and was playing against the Texans.
Yeah, I get that. And
now you got it. You do got to add. You do got to add the snow boost, obviously, for you know, you give David Montgomery the 0.1x multiplier for playing in the snow. That's fair.
But also, Justin Jackson was in the dome.
Yeah, and Chargers has got a higher team total. I get it. I'm on the wrong side because I took volume over efficiency. That's my like life. That's my
DFS, but remember when like 3 or 4 weeks ago you guys roasted me for playing Montgomery in like the stone cold same spot and he got all the touches and he just didn't do anything.
Yeah, he averaged 1.8 yards per carry in that game, but this game he was up to 2.1. So Nate really went in good, I think, with Montgomery in the spot.
This slide sucked.
So did either of you consider not playing Josh Palmer at any point?
Not really. So, I mean, obviously one of the issues with this slate is that there was so much value, right? There was so much value. And my original build before Palmer got the role is that I had,
he was only 38% on the massive $50 double up Palmer.
Yeah, I think because it was pretty late news on Mike Williams. I think it was
Mike Williams COVID.
Yeah, I think it was in the middle of Christmas Day, and so people probably didn't react as quickly or as strongly.
Yeah, they're eating prime rib, drinking eggnog. They don't give a shit.
Yeah, exactly. Like half everyone's already passed out, and you know they're having conversations about Bitcoin and politics with their boomer grandparents. You know, it's a great day, but I don't think that people were like so sold. And I think the holidays maybe played a role. I originally had a Cup plus Justin Jefferson build before.
That's what I was doing as I was using Noah Gray and then playing a really expensive third wide receiver.
Yeah. So it was, I was like playing Komet, right?
I think Noah Gray outscored Gronk.
Well, you know, it was very tough. I mean, but that was the thing. Like once Palmer got in there, like we've seen that Palmer is really talented. We want shares of this offense. And they really didn't.
Well, Nate didn't want any shares.
Yeah. Well, they really didn't have like anybody else to throw the ball to. I mean, they ended up throwing the ball a lot to like Moore.
Yeah. But,
did you guys consider Keenan?
Yeah. That was one of the things I looked at before Palmer.
I never consider Keenan, bro. It's just, yeah.
No. I had a build with Keenan.
Can I just say the clear fucking obvious mistake that we all made, which was having all this money to spend and not playing the Eagles defense against Jake Fromm. I mean, Bengals defense, Falcons defense, like what I do not have a word for what I was doing, not playing the Eagles defense against.
No,
Jake
I think
Fromm.
Yeah, I mean, dude, you don't want to like spend up at defense. Like, oh, I'm gonna spend.
But
we
were spending up at tight. Like, I played Gronk, but it's not like I was like, oh, Gronk's the biggest smash ever. I just did it because I had the money.
Yeah, same. I mean, he was overly expensive, and you know, I wouldn't really. I don't love Goddard either, and I really get the case for Goddard. Like Nate's right. I mean, his share of that offense is out of control. I think the guy's talented. I mean, he's basically their number one receiver. But the challenge runs into the Eagles. Like when they get up, they just have no interest in throwing the ball, and that can really create like high variance in that kind of spot. And in this game, they really didn't even target him that much, which I thought was interesting. He'd like crushed 100 yards 2 weeks in a row, and yeah, this game he got like whatever three targets, and they weren't even interested.
Yeah, it was super tilting to watch the Goddard thing. I mean, I think Komet was the other option at tight end that I thought of because I think the one build that I had with Keenan, it was getting down to Komet.
How many weeks has Cole Komet been the most owned tight end in cash, and is that more weeks than touchdowns he scored this year?
Oh, it's obviously more weeks than touchdowns, and you know it's just one of those things.
Let's play a little trivia here. Do we think Cole Komet has a touchdown on the year? I honestly don't know the answer to this question.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, he's got at least two. He's got to have like two.
He has zero. He's got zero. I just
thought. Is he really?
How many does Jimmy Graham have? Because Jimmy Graham, again, just like plays master cuck and just smashes touchdowns.
I believe Jimmy has two.
Jimmy
has three. Jimmy's got three.
And
I think
that's
a typo. I think Jimmy has at least eight. How many 2-point conversions does he have? He's just always...
I mean, it does feel like every time you turn a Bears game on, Jimmy Graham just got targeted for some reason.
Yeah,
it is tilting. But the Gronk thing yesterday, Gronk wasn't even the most targeted tight end on the freaking team.
No, Cam Brate got his stats.
Cam Brate doubled his whopper.
Well, Cam Brate cucked Gronkowski too. It's very, very tough. It sucks to like pay all this money for a tight end and have him cucked by another tight end.
Yeah, when we could have.
Sammy, you're playing out my thesis. Playing out my thesis, which is why you pay down for Dallas Goedert and pay up for David Montgomery in the best workload possible.
Should have paid up for the Eagles defense, probably.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing with DST was that there were other defenses.
Seven DST. That's a thing that's happening is all these teams are just getting fucking wrecked by COVID every DST is in like a good spot.
Yeah. I mean, Atlanta was a viable play. Cincinnati.
Atlanta was not a viable play.
Not viable.
The Detroit Lions and Tim Boyle did not turn the ball over and Tim Boyle did not get sacked against the Atlanta Falcons.
They turned it over. They had an interception right at the end. Olakun got
it. There we go.
Yeah, they needed to be worried about
I picked up the Falcons in like a couple seasonal spots after Goff got put on the COVID list, and I just spent the whole morning just being like, this was the dumbest thing I've ever done. Like, I'm so miserable. Why did I do this?
It was a bad idea for two reasons. A very bad idea. Number one, the Falcons are completely devoid of talent. So that's a challenge. And then number two, having Jared Goff out isn't necessarily a benefit. And I would also say that number three, it was in a dome. So
Tim Boyle had more interceptions than touchdowns in college. Like, he is awful.
Yeah,
the Falcons should feel really bad about what they did yesterday.
How many times have Falcons burned us? Like, whether it was Matt Ryan or Calvin Ridley when he was still playing,
or Mike Davis.
Oh, wait.
Only Cordarrelle has actually come through on that team, but that team sucks ass. I mean, just if you don't roster any of them. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. And then I mean, just I got spit roasted by Matthew Stafford. I mean, what is this? They score 30 points and he gets 9. I mean, what the fuck?
It was in a dome, so I can't really
fault you for this play. Stafford is so good. Like, just gets minimum guy gets like 250 and 2 every week, and he gets 197 passing yards and 1 passing touchdown. Like, what?
The Sony Michel game, bro. I mean, they found their running back, and they like to put 6 offensive linemen on the field now.
I didn't
watch any of this game, so I actually don't know why he sucks so bad.
It was because the Vikings were useless. Like, the Vikings were beyond useless. They couldn't do anything. The Rams scored a defensive touchdown. Sony rushed for a touchdown.
The defensive touchdown always screws stuff up. It just ruins the fantasy game. What was the thesis behind playing Stafford over Hurts? Did he just project better for you, or
he projected better. I had a little bit more money, and Stafford feels safer because we've already seen these spots where Hurts is a huge favorite and they just completely shut it down. He barely runs. He doesn't account for any rushing touchdowns and he gets 9. I mean, we played him, right? We played him in the Lions. They scored 38 and he got like 5 points. That's basically the thesis.
Yeah.
You want Jalen Hurts in competitive games or when they're losing, because then he's just scrambling for his life.
I guess. Yeah. I mean,
I don't think Jalen Hurts has ever worked out for me in cash games. I don't know why I continue
to do this surfing the old game logs. Jalen Hurts looks pretty good. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, but
I
so just, does Stafford. Look at Stafford's game logs.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the rushing floor. So I ended up, I think our team was the same, Davis. I just went down to Hurts and up to like Seattle.
Seahawks.
Yeah. And that was actually really mentally weak because I only went to Seattle because I
felt saw the snow.
Yeah. No, I felt, I mean, the snow helped, but I felt egregious like leaving like $600 on the table. And I'm like, well, I'll spend $400 to get up to Seattle. Good idea. Like, that was stupid. This is mentally weak, I think.
Yeah.
God, Nate, Jesus Christ. I can't believe you didn't play.
I know.
Justin Jackson. This is an all-timer. I mean, honestly, like we're recording early in the morning.
This is going to go down in the annals of history and people are going to forget it. But like people, this is not going to be one of the things that people quote about this show like years from now, like Sammy playing Adrian Peterson in Cash that one time, but it should be because it's really bad.
Yeah, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel good the next day. You wake up and look at yourself.
All right, I really did not want to play James Robinson. I just want that on the record that I hate that guy.
Well, that was very tough. We're lucky he was so owned in Cash. But let's talk a little bit about guys that other people played that we didn't end up playing.
I mean, Rojo, the people who Rojo played Rojo, I congratulate you because you're sharper than me. And Tyreek was like bigly owned, like 20%. And that is why I didn't lose 100%. Like Tyreek getting like three or whatever is why I was able to get like 50% back.
No, imagine not smashing on the Steelers. That's really tough for Tyreek.
Well, he didn't play in the second half at all. And I'm assuming that it's because he didn't practice at all this week and it was COVID stuff. I'm assuming that's the only reason.
Yeah, somebody tweeted this yesterday and I was thinking about it. What are players looking like directly off COVID?
Daigle tweeted it and they've all sucked. Every single one of them has sucked. Not one guy has come off the COVID list and been good.
There has to have been one, right? No.
No, they all come back. And it's not even if they were sick. I mean, some of them have been sick, but it's because they haven't practiced at all. So they're all and not practice, like not even running, like not conditioning, like nothing. Yeah. Like literally sitting on the couch. I mean, how do you feel if you sitting on the couch for a week and then you come back and try to do something? Like you feel like shit.
No, buddy. I've been sitting on the couch for 3.5 years and every once in a while I try to go out and play, you know, football on Thanksgiving morning. And it is.
Yeah. And you want to die. It's terrible.
Can confirm. I mean, Madison was actually coming off of COVID.
Mm-hmm. And Kenny and Wangu played the most snaps he's played all year.
Yeah, maybe
Madison's the one that I like. Looking back at my lineup, Madison is, I think, maybe the one guy that I regret.
No, Madison was on pace to just absolutely go nuts in this game. He played 75% of the snaps. He was targeted 4 times. He got multiple attempts at goal line touchdowns. The Vikings just sucked in this game. Like they just got
Davis. Wrecked. I'm not talking about it from a results standpoint. I'm saying going into the slate. The David Montgomery thing, I actually think David Montgomery could have put up 30 here and you guys all would have felt like
idiots. But Madison was the highest projected running back of the slate at 6,800. Like you just are not playing that guy.
I consider not playing him.
I consider, yeah.
Yeah, I really liked Madison. I saw the projection. It was very good.
I considered Rojo Eagles over James Robinson Bengals. That was the only swap that I was
still considering. I think Rojo was legit bad. I think the fact that people consider Rojo in the same tier as the rest of these guys is legit bad.
Well, why do you think that? Did you think that he projected to have like a smaller share of targets? Like they don't trust him on third down. Was that kind of the idea behind it?
Yeah. They very clearly have not trusted him all year round. There's all of these other guys.
Brady throws to running backs on early downs. He got targeted 4 times.
He does.
Much more. Okay. David Montgomery, Alexander Madison, James Robinson, and then Justin Jackson. All of those guys had just so much better volume projections than a Ronald Jones. And Ronald Jones just very clearly has been given, like, Tampa Bay has taken every opportunity to not give him work. Like, why would we play this guy when there's those other running backs?
It did feel good when Keyshawn Vaughn broke off that 50-yarder early in the game. And it was like, oh, the Rojo fish aren't going to get there. He did end up scoring a touchdown.
He did get there. But I think if Vaughn doesn't house that, I think Jones, like, I think he got rewarded for more snaps after that. And I think had he, like, you know, just been tackled by the first guy that should have tackled him there anyways. I think that Rojo would have gotten even more touches because he only played like 50% of the snaps.
They yeah. literally I'm... did give Le'Veon Bell two rush attempts.
Two rush attempts.
I don't know if you guys saw that. Obviously for -1 yard, but that's what happened.
I wish James Robinson would have smashed, and then all these people who played Rojo lose money.
Okay, I mean everybody played James Robinson though. Like, I don't know. It wasn't that big of a deal.
Well, he wasn't the most owned. The actual most owned was Justin Jackson.
I mean,
who did punish the faders.
Yeah, even the fish got that one right. I mean, his volume was he got a ass load of targets. I mean, that was the great part. I think he only had 11 rush attempts. He obviously ran good to get in the zone twice. But I mean, nine targets for 4,200, buddy. Whew.
Yeah, when you can combine those nine targets with 21 rushing attempts, it's even better.
He was their leading wide receiver.
To be clear, David Montgomery had nine targets and 21 rushing attempts.
We get what you're saying, Nate. He was a fine play. You should have played both of those guys.
You should have played both. Yeah, you should have played Demon instead of Madison.
Yeah.
To be clear, I'm tilting.
Yeah. Josh Palmer. I know we touched on him earlier, but what about you guys? Did you ever consider not playing him? Were there other builds that you tried to get in or when?
No.
When...
Guyton, Mike and Mike Williams both being out pretty much locked. I wonder how many snaps he played in the end, because I thought he might just play like all of them.
I did too. And Guyton being out was actually a really big thing because
he played 97% of the snaps.
The thing for me was like that he had stepped really into Keenan Allen's role one for one when Keenan was out. And if Guyton was in, I wasn't actually positive that Palmer would play all the wide receiver two snaps. You know what I mean? Like, remember who was the team that had the direct backups to the X and the Z and all that?
The Chiefs.
Oh yeah, yeah, the Chiefs. So, you know, it was one of those things where I wasn't sold.
No. Not the Chiefs, the goddamn Falcons.
The Falcons.
It was the Falcons. With Zacchaeus. And Campbell.
The Olamide.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Guyton news was huge. I think the Palmer at his price felt like as must of a play as the running backs did to me, you know? And I think that's that like morning news changed it. Cause I don't think I probably would have built with Keenan had that news not come out.
Yeah. I mean, that seems reasonable.
It seems reasonable, except Keenan never scores a touchdown, except on island games.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the tourney lineups. I'm ready to.
Spoiler alert. None of my tournament lineups came with Joe Burrow and T. Higgins and Chase. I did play T. So I guess the one I played in the red zone was Josh Allen, Alexander Mattison, Ronald Jones, Cooper Kupp, Stephon Diggs, Isaiah McKenzie, Hunter Henry, Byron Pringle, and the Falcons defense. Just, yeah, absolutely need to see the 1.9 points from Hunter Henry. You don't love to see it.
You don't love to waste this Byron Pringle.
Pringle and McKenzie combined for 50, bro. And it just literally didn't matter. It's like,
this should have been an all timer for you, Davis. It should have been you, people talking about you instead of Adam Levitan on Twitter today.
I had, honestly, I nailed the one-offs this week. Like my teams were fucking disgustingly good, but I just didn't play Burrow doubles. And so it didn't get there, but
no money.
Like T as a one-off, McKenzie as a one-off, Pringle as a one-off. Like I played Pringle in every tournament lineup instead of Josh Palmer, and it just didn't matter. But
why did this happen? That the moment we shunned T Higgins and decided he was persona non grata in our cash game lineups after making like six of the first 7 weeks, has he just become like wide receiver one every week since?
Well, because the reason we were playing him in cash was his role was so good and he was just running terribly. And now he's just running, you know, hotter than the sun. I think he caught every target that he had yesterday.
Yeah, minus one, but he was just like going up and Randy Mossing over double coverage.
Yeah, but like he was getting same targets 2 months ago. Like the game that we all tilted the most was the game against the Jets. Six targets, four receptions, 97 yards, but he had the 50 yarder that he didn't haul in for the bonus. And then the game against the Raiders, 2 for 15. And that was the game week 11 against the Raiders. That was when we swore off of him, was the 2 for 15, when we were just like, that's it. We're done with this guy.
But it's so crazy that Jamar Chase had all the big dick energy in the season. And then he just like transferred it to T Higgins and he lost it. I don't know how this happened, but I guess the nerds will say regression, but
it's just a little bit of random variance. Yeah. You know,
it's also Joe Burrow. Actually good. Like really good.
Yeah, he's really good.
Joe Burrow had some incredible plays yesterday.
But I played 0% Justin Jackson in tournaments and 0% James Robinson in tournaments, because I thought, I mean, the path for James Robinson being bad is also, I like just never in my life would be worried about him getting 30 and burying me because he plays for the Jaguars, who are probably the worst team in the NFL. They lost to the Jets yesterday, right? I'm not making that
they
up.
They did.
They lost. So they lost to the Jets. And then Justin Jackson, not that he was a bad play, but I just thought, like, you know, he could get 16 or whatever because he's losing goal line work to Josh Kelly. And then the other thing that I thought was very important this week was just to really only play four wide receiver lineups, since I thought three running back lineups were going to be such a heavy concentration in ownership.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. I think I built kind of weird because I felt like we were so like lineup ownership was so condensed this week on a couple great plays that I knew I wanted to pivot at running back. And so I kind of made my pivots and built around that. So my big pivots yesterday were Michael Carter and Rex Burkhead, and just pretty much
Rex Burkhead. Legend. So,
well, I mean, the rest of the lineup sucked, so it didn't matter. And then I went with the Atlanta stack of Matt Ryan, Russell Gage, and Kyle Pitts.
Smooth.
Yeah, it just didn't work. I had two main stacks yesterday, and it was Atlanta and then Josh Allen stacks. The Atlanta stacks. I don't know. I just thought dome Atlanta. Like, if there's ever a time for Matt Ryan,
it's the dome
to do it.
If there's ever a time for Matt Ryan, but there isn't. There was a time for Matt Ryan, Nate, and it was 2015.
I can't even sugarcoat this, Nate. It's just not good.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah,
it was bad.
Well, I got to tell you guys. So I really didn't play tournaments this week. You know, it was just like, it was Christmas week. So I really didn't feel like I had a lot of feel for the slate. I wasn't doing a lot of research throughout the week, you know, fantasy playoffs and seasonal had to focus on those, a bunch of stuff. So I played one tournament lineup and it was complete ass. It scored 105 points.
Wow.
Yeah, not great, Chief. It was a Stafford double stack, Stafford and Cup and Tyler Higbee.
Did you do the JJF bring back?
I did the Adam Thielen bring back what was it? Did he have COVID?
No, he had an ankle sprain and he hurt it in the middle of this game.
Yeah, so I brought COVID. It back. I thought that would be a contrarian way to get exposure to a game that I really liked. I played off the wall running backs with Corderell and Miles Sanders. Corderell, disappointed. He had 14 rushing yards. He did score. And then I just went chalky with the rest, Antonio Brown, Joshua Palmer, and the Bengals defense. But this lineup sucked. Really didn't put a ton of thought into it. And the results were predictable. Tough scene. I played a Falcon.
I was going to say, at least you didn't stack the Falcons, though.
Yeah, well, I did play one Falcon and recipe for disaster. Like, you're not going to bink anything. Like, what are you going to win?
Yeah.
Fuck all. So
the Burrow people, dude, they were just too good. They just smoked us. Like, there's just nothing you can do about it.
I can't believe, I mean, weren't they worried about the divisional matchup the second time around?
I guess that is a narrative, but I mean, and sometimes in retrospect, you look at tournament winning lineups and you're like, what drugs were these people on? And the Burrow stuff is so simple. It's just the Ravens have no one left in the secondary and Joe Burrow is good. And T Higgins is good. And Jamar Chase is good. And all of these backup quarterbacks have just been peppering Mark Andrews with targets, much to my chagrin. You know, Lamar Jackson never did this for me. Anytime I ever played Mark Andrews in cash, Lamar just throws it at Mark Andrews' knees and waits for him to drop it. Like, that's the only thing that ever happens with when I play Mark Andrews.
We have to give big ups. We should congratulate Levitan. He binked a quarter.
So sick.
Yeah. So sick. Adam's like legit one of like the best dudes in the industry. Super hardworking, great guy, won a quarter million. That's awesome. We saw Joe Holka propose to his Viking cheerleader.
Yeah, girlfriend. what a gnarly proposal that was.
Yeah, that was pretty sick. Just congrats to all these guys, man. Big W's all the way around.
And then we stacked the Falcons.
Yeah, also big W for Davis Maddock playing Dak in cash like half the weeks this year.
I know. he gets 40 and a half. And I don't think the last two times I played Dak, he got to 20 combined.
Yeah, he didn't get to 40 combined over the last 3 weeks Davis played him. Davis gets off of him and he just literally had 300.
I didn't get off of him. Buddy, if he would have been in the main slate, I would have ran it back again. If Davis Maddock, if I have the choice between Stafford or Dak, I guarantee I am taking Dak Prescott. It's not even close.
Yeah, I believe him on this one. I'm taking this one. He also ran four times for 21 yards. It was like the first time we've seen Dak take off consistently. It was kind of cool.
I saw a bunch of smart football people saying that the Cowboys offense was never as bad as we thought it was. They were just getting shot in the foot by penalties and like near misses on third down and stuff. So I'm choosing to believe that is true and not that it was just an all-time anomaly game against the awful Washington football team.
I don't think it was an anomaly. I think this is Dallas. Like, they have an incredible defense and they have the weapons on offense, and Dak has always been elite. Like, they're going to be good. They're going to be tough to stop.
Yeah. It'll be good to smash them in the playoffs. Maybe some home games in the dome. You know,
are we going to talk to Sammy about what it was like to watch his Steelers? I saw an amazing graphic that the last time the Steelers went scoreless in the first half, it was 1940, which means that only World War II stopped them from scoring in the first half. And then the Kansas City Chiefs,
the year Ben Roethlisberger was born. It's so bad. Like, they're like, anytime I feel bad about the Bears, I then get to watch like the Steelers play and I feel better. Like, at least that's not my team. At least that's not my team. The Steelers are just, it's pathetic football.
I mean, could we have predicted that Ben Roethlisberger would turn into this boomer who like refuses to do play action or have any pre-snap motion or anything like that? The only saving grace is that Deontay Johnson did continue to smash. He scored a touchdown.
But did you guys see his fumble? Did he catch it from Mason Rudolph?
He did not.
Okay.
He did not, but he did fumble, just untouched. I mean, it was just like,
he is a beta.
The Steelers have no interest. I don't know how the Steelers have like a 500 record. It's really a shame on the NFL that this is the case, but yeah, you know, what are you going to do? Yeah.
Nothing you can do.
Best team in the NFL. They just don't know it yet.
Yeah. How about the Bears? Matt Nagy going for two.
I know. How about it? He got his guy Foles in there and he felt comfortable doing anything.
Yeah. I can't believe I played the Seahawks defense in cash, like against Nick Foles. I mean,
it was the snow. The snow got you, dude. Don't lie.
It did.
Dude, it was mentally weak.
You were like, they're gonna be slipping and sliding out there. Yeah. No, it's a powerful thing, dude.
The ball is gonna come out in weird ways, take some funny bounces. You know, this is a recipe for a touchdown. I thought it could happen.
Yeah. All right. Let's get out of here, everyone. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week for a very weird slate. 14 games on the main slate. No Thursday night football. I think there might not even be Sunday night football. I think it's like there's just a Monday night game. So we'll enjoy that and be back later, dudes.